This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. We got a lot to get to today. 24/7 released its top 247 prospects for the class of 2021. An Oregon athlete was named the number 5 inside linebacker in the country. In the entire country. We've talked about the class of 2020 in the state of Oregon being a little bit down. And I love Andy Alfieri. He's a great prospect. He's a 4-star prospect. Keith Brown in the class of 2020 would absolutely be the headliner right now of the class of 2020. He's that good. So we'll talk to Greg Biggins about Keith Brown. We'll also talk to him about the Northwest. We've touched on this on the show a number of times. As much as the University of Oregon and Oregon State want to always make inroads in California, and they're always going to have to. They need to make inroads in the state of Texas. They're always going to have to. Washington is loaded. Washington has the number one prospect. They have the number one overall quarterback. They have the number one overall athlete. And they have the number two wide receiver. All in the state of Washington. Washington, absolutely loaded. We'll go over that with 24/7 Sports National Recruiting Director Greg Biggins in the second segment. But first, if you've been following the news this week about the University of Oregon, they have a lot of news centered around big-time prospects, 5-star prospects. And that started earlier in the week with Noah Sewell. Now, he's Panay Sewell's brother, and I know you're going to say, he's a 4-star prospect, Nemec. You can't give him the 5-star label. I think it's coming. He's the number 2 inside linebacker in the entire country. Again, Panay Sewell's brother wants to play with his brother. And one of the questions I like to ask, because people ask me all the time, how do you compile lists? How do you come up with who's going to be good out of a recruiting class? And it's not just me watching film. I'm a sports writer. So I'm not a coach. I didn't play college football. So I have my own opinions. I've watched a lot of football, but more than anything, you need to source that stuff out. You ask people, who are some of the best prospects in the entire country? Who are some of the best people you've seen? And I think one of the very best guys in the country travels all over the place. I had a chance to ask him, who are the 5 best? This is a question I ask people all the time. Who are the 5 best kids in the nation that you've seen in person? Now, not everybody's seen everybody. But you get a really nice snippet of who's rising up boards when like 3 or 4 different area people, or whether it's college coaches or high school coaches, who are the best 5 people you've seen in person. If you start hearing a name repeated over and over and he's a 4-star kid, or I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but a 3-star kid, you know, you got a kid who's about to rise up. And this guy sees everybody, national guy. And he said Noah Sewell was one of the top 5 players he's seen in the country. I guarantee you he's seen over half of the top 100. Noah Sewell's big time. Noah Sewell visited recently. And, you know, you want a kid to say he had a great visit. You want a kid to say it felt, you know, it felt good. I felt like I bonded there. I understand the academic fit. But Noah Sewell didn't stop there. Again, Panay Sewell's, or Sewell, excuse me, little brother, Noah. He said, the entire coaching staff feel like second fathers to me. Mario Cristobal feels like a second father to me. That's huge. That's huge. I mean, that's one of those things. And this is a kid with offers from Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Miami, Oklahoma, the whole deal. The whole deal. You know this kid is being recruited nationally by everybody. And in the Sewell family, trust and family are huge. Not only does Oregon have Panay, his brother, who he'd get a chance to play with for 1 year if Panay goes pro after his junior season, or 2 if Panay stays for his senior season, but also the trust factor is built in already. Panay can say, I went to Oregon. I trusted Mario Cristobal. I trusted his staff. Not only did they develop me, and by all accounts, Penei Sewell is well on his way to being a first or second round NFL draft pick, but they also treated me the right way. And that's what Noah said when I talked to him this week. He said, not only do I like the coaching staff, but I can see from Penei and the way they treat him that what they say, they also preach. They practice what they preach. So I made a prediction. Noah Sewell's going to commit to Oregon. I think it's going to take time. I think he's going to take his official visits. He's already got two planned, Oregon and Texas A&M. But if you start looking at that defense, Oregon got the number one corner in the nation, Michael Wright, here this past recruiting class. They got Kayvon Thibodeau, the number one prospect in the entire country. And now in this class, potentially, you get Noah Sewell, the number two inside linebacker in the country. You're starting to build blue chip pieces in key spots on a defense. Middle linebacker, edge rusher, shutdown corner. You start adding those pieces together, and that's how you build a dominant defense, especially linebacker, middle linebacker. One of my favorite theories in football is your defense is only as fast as your middle linebacker. And the reason is, if your middle linebacker can go sideline to sideline, it's almost like adding an extra body on each side of the defense. He's smack dab in the middle, but if he can pursue all the way to sideline, that's a whole nother body the offense has to account for in their blocking scheme. You're only as fast as your middle linebacker. Well, Noah Sewell can flat out thump, and he can move. I think that's a huge potential piece. Visiting this weekend for the Oregon Ducks, five-star outside linebacker Savelle Smalls. Savelle Smalls is the number one outside linebacker in the country, the number four prospect overall in the country. Savelle Smalls from Seattle, another one of those Washington kids, number four prospect in the entire country, visiting this weekend. Why is it important? He's visited lots of times before. Why does it matter? This time he's bringing his parents. I had a chance to talk to Savelle today. He is bringing his parents this weekend to check out Oregon because he wants to see if they see the same level of fit that he does. Now, I think Washington's there. I think Clemson's there. I think Florida State's there. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a big battle. But Savelle Smalls likes Oregon enough that on his own dime, and I know it's a drive, it's not a flight, he's coming from Seattle, he's bringing his parents to check things out. That's a telling piece. I think Oregon's in the mix there. The other thing Savelle brought up, and I asked him, I said, you know, again, talk about adding pieces and how they play off each other and build off each other. What would it be like to play with Kayvon Thibodeau? And he said, it's something he's thought about. It intrigues him. Because if those are your two edge rushers on the edge, now this is Oregon fans' dream scenario, right? You've already got Kayvon Thibodeau. You've already got Michael Wright. Now, Michael Wright's going to end up being a big time. I think he's going to be a corner in the NFL. He was the number one corner in the country. He's dominant. I think they're going to get Noah Sewell. No guarantees. He's not committed yet, but I think you get him. Imagine, Oregon fan, if you add Savelle Smalls on the other end. You've got Kayvon Thibodeau and Savelle Smalls as your edge rushers on either end. That is a nightmare for offensive lines. Not only that, but you've got Noah Sewell in the middle. I don't know what's going to happen. I think Washington's the leader right now. I think Clemson intrigues him. Florida State intrigues him. But Oregon made an interesting hire. They hired an assistant coach in Trey Watson, who's extremely well-connected. Not only is he a great recruiter, I see Marcus in there nodding. Not only is he an extremely good recruiter and he's extremely connected to FSP, but he's also a real one. The kids really like him. Marcus, I'm just going to you for verification. I see you nodding, so I think you got something to say. Trey Watson is a good dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude, and it's just the energy he brings off, and I think that just is a icing on the cake, man. With Oregon, is you see those kind of things, it does matter. I promise everybody listening, I promise you, as you probably already know, having a guy like him on campus, especially in a way with a pipeline, right, for Washington and everything like that, you just see him, and he just radiates off this high energy. He's the kind of coach that will, like, if he sees you, he'll just run, chest bump you out of nowhere, right? He'll be like, what's up, dog? Run at you as fast as he can, give you a chest bump. That stuff matters. As much as everyone thinks it's goofy and it's funny, man, if someone did that to me, it just brings me that much closer saying, okay, this is a family. These guys actually love doing what they do and not just, right, they're not just trying to sell me a car, basically.
Talk to Matt Sykes, a four-star receiver from Hawaii. I also talked to Noah Sewell. Both of them said, and I've heard this now a number of times, Oregon's plan on an unofficial visit or an official visit, you come through and you come in and you come off on an elevator. When the elevator doors open, Oregon has their entire coaching staff waiting for you, and they go nuts as the door opens. It's a welcome to Oregon, unlike you hear from almost any other school. Every single coach is there, screaming at you, fired up. They're also all a part of the photo shoot. That's a selling point. And I know it seems like a silly selling point. It's energy. It's we believe, and here's how important you are. And when you go to on another visit, and whether it's Clemson or USC or it doesn't matter what the school is, Washington, Washington State, any school, you go there and you go on an official visit. Maybe your position coach sees you and you swing by the head coach's office, which that happens on visits. And then you compare that to going to Oregon and the elevator doors open and you see Oregon's facilities. First thing you see, facilities. And the entire coaching staff, like, yeah,
that stuff matters.
It matters. It works. And I mean, it blows you away. And yeah. Parents go, they care.
Yeah.
They care.
Listen, I'm an Oregon State guy, and there's probably Oregon State people listening. So if there are, don't hold me to this. But if the elevator opened, right, and I see those coaches doing that, man, I'm running in that pile and just chest bumping everybody, right? It's just that energy really matters. And you could tell, man, like, just looking at what Oregon's done now, and I already experienced Oregon before, right? Years ago now, I'm old, but seeing just the difference, like if I would have saw that kind of energy, that kind of fire, everything like that when I first took a visit there, man, who knows? Maybe my story would have been different, but I chose Oregon State, you know. Got it, you know, I just had to say that, but got to show the Beavs love too.
Five-star quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, is the number one overall prospect in the country. He is visiting for the spring game. And I'll tell you what, the pitch to him is so interesting. It's so intricate. I really like what Oregon's doing because it is it's not just a pitch to him. It's here's what we're going to surround you with. So he's a dual sport athlete. He's a great baseball player. So they made edits with him in a football uniform holding a baseball bat. You get it, right? I mean, that one makes sense. They have another one of his face. Half of his face, the other half, Marcus Mariota. And it's kind of continuing.
That one's dope.
Continuing the pipeline. It's a really nice edit. And then the other two that I've seen now that are really, really cool. Oregon just recruited an unbelievable wide receiver class. This wide receiver class, this last one was the best one they've ever put together in 1 year. They got four elite guys. I don't care what anybody says. J.R. Waters is a three-star prospect. That's shenanigans. J.R. Waters should have been, no question, a four-star guy. He went to a camp, blew up, got offers from Arizona State, Oregon, Michigan, Nebraska, and Utah in like a week and a half span when he was a relative unknown once people got to see him. And he just committed to Oregon and shut it down. If he'd have left it open, he'd have added 20, 25 offers and no doubt been one of those big time four-star prospects. So that doesn't bother me. So they do edits of like, here's what you're going to be surrounded with. So it's DJ in the foreground with these four receivers they brought in that are freshmen. So he's going to be with them for 3 years, in the background. They also did that with their O-line. Now, if you paid any attention to this show, you know Mario Cristobal's philosophy is like 6'5 or taller and 310, 320 pounds and bigger. So it's like, we will protect you, and here are the weapons you get to throw to. And I think that's a smart pitch. You're safe here. It's not all on you. We don't want you to be the savior. We want you to be the final piece. And I think that pitch goes a long way. And some of the programs that sell, you can come in and play right away. Part of that pitch is, we kind of need you to help us out.
Absolutely.
We kind of need you to bring us back. If Oregon's pitch is like, bring us back to the Marcus days, then it's like, is it all on me? Can I go to Clemson and just continue the lineage of national championship runs? And it's like, no. We've already built the thing. We've already built the ship. We just need you to steer it. It's
absolutely.
Like, okay, I get it. I really like what Oregon's doing. I think it's intricate. I think it's layered. I think it's smart. It's not just a Marcus. It's, we have a huge O-line to protect you. You've got weapons. You matter. We want you here. But at the same time, we don't need you desperately. Yeah. We'll be okay.
That stuff goes a long way, too. And you just look at that edit that you were saying and just the size. Man, that's, as Shaq would say, that's barbecue chicken, man. Like, you just see that as a quarterback. You're like, I got all these weapons. I'm not going to take these devastating blows. I'm not going to come in and, like you said, have to be the savior. He can come in and just be a great player surrounded by great players, which who doesn't want that, right? That's how you win.
I think Clemson's the heavy favorite right now. I don't think there's any doubt, but I would have told you the same thing or something similar about Kayvon Thibodeau before his visit for the Washington game. You know, Alabama probably going to end up getting him. That's probably the way this is going to shake out. it only takes one great visit. And what we've seen so far from Mario Cristobal and his staff is they can deliver an incredible visit. It doesn't take them much to turn something into an incredible visit. That spring game weekend is going to be nuts. Oregon's going to have all kinds, 40, 50 elite prospects on campus. I think it's going to end up being the best weekend in the history of the program in terms of who's on campus. Again, kids are paying for those trips. So that's an incredible, if that's your biggest weekend ever, it's not an official visit weekend. I mean, guys can now because they get spring officials, but for the most part, these kids are taking unofficial visits to Oregon. They're paying their own way. And it's a big time list. That's huge. That's huge. So Oregon making big strides. They hosted Noah Sewell. They hosted Matt Sykes, the Hawaii four-star receiver who was the All-American wide receiver MVP at the Combine in San Antonio, the National Combine. He was the MVP of the receivers. Coming off a broken leg during his junior season. So nobody, still a four-star prospect, but has no junior film. He broke his leg. So nobody really knows about him. He's all healed up. He goes to this All-American Combine in San Antonio and just kills it, earns the MVP. He visited on his own dime this past weekend. DJ Uiagalelei is visiting for the spring game, and Savelle Smalls is coming this weekend. That's a pretty thick update right there, Marcus, in terms of big-time visitors that have come or are coming. And a big prediction, Noah Sewell, the nation's number two inside linebacker, won't happen this week, won't happen next week, won't even happen next month. Noah Sewell ends up committing and signing with the Ducks. Mark it down.
That's a bold statement.
But no, if it's he not. But if I'm confident.
Yeah.
Real confident.
That's good, though, right? It's, thinking about the players, right? Just thinking about, or in his case, excuse me, thinking who he gets to play with. If you can make Oregon have a dominant defense like they did when they made that national title run, my goodness.
Right.
Give me a break, man.
That's the vision, right?
Yeah.
Build the defense, build the O-line, and then Oregon's traditional skill guys. I mean, it's just, it's nasty.
It's barbecue chicken.
And by the way, I don't make predictions lightly. I think you can look at my track record on predictions, and I'm pretty dang good at those things all the way to the end. And I'll be honest with you. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau, I didn't know. But either did anybody else, and I said that. And everybody's predicting Alabama, it's Alabama, it's Alabama. And right before he committed, I said, listen, I know everybody's picking Alabama, wouldn't shock me, but I still think Oregon could get him. And it really did feel 50-50 all the way through. As many people said, it's Alabama today, I also heard it's Oregon today. Today it's Oregon, tomorrow it's Alabama, yesterday it was Alabama, today it was jumping all over the place. And that's the truth. He ends up picking Oregon. I'm telling you, Noah Sewell going to end up being a Duck. I think that's a huge get for Oregon, the number two inside linebacker in the country. And by the way, I also predict he will end up being a five-star by the time it's all said and done. A special, special talent. But next, we got to go over the class of 2021. 24/7 Sports released their top 247. A local kid, the number five inside linebacker in the country, Greg Biggins, joins us next to talk about it on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 10 of the Fan.
From five stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Oregon Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
The class of 2021, top 247 rankings are out. Joining me to talk about it is 24/7 Sports national recruiting analyst Greg Biggins. First of all, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Good. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing all right.
Prayers up to you, my man. I got you. I know what you're going through, so I hope you're all right.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. For people who don't know, my dad had a heart attack over the weekend and had surgery, open heart surgery this morning. He woke up about 3 or 4 hours before the show and is doing pretty well. They expect him to make a full recovery in the next 5 or 6 weeks to the point of being able to exercise. I appreciate that, man.
Nice.
First, with this list, how difficult is it to put together a list of sophomores? There's still so much projection. There's still so much growth. Sometimes guys get on this list, they get a big head, and they stop working. I know it's a snapshot, and I'm not holding you to this 10 years from now and say, why'd you have this kid 15? He should have been 3. But how difficult is it to put together a list like this?
It's impossible, and I can tell. I mean, you get it. You understand it. Some people don't. At this early point, you mentioned mostly projection. It's all projection. There's guys that haven't even started a varsity game yet that are going to be on this list 2 years from now. So people are going to look back and say, how'd you miss so-and-so? You know, this is based off mostly 1 year of film. You don't see a whole lot of guys that started as a freshman. So most of these guys you saw as sophomores, And like we said with our rankings, it's not even projection to college. It's projection to the NFL. So that's why you have a guy, JT Tuimoloau, our number one guy right now. I mean, he's so easy to project, 6'4", 280, 275. Defensive end, obviously, Polynesians, they don't have a problem, you know, getting a little bit bigger, stronger. So he could be a 295-pound inside guy, but you watch him on the circuit this past year at tight end, and just tremendous athleticism and body control and coordination. So really easy to project him. But like you said, for most of these guys, it's tough. I don't put a whole lot of seriousness into it. That we're already seeing guys that we rated after their freshman year who didn't really, advance, whether it be athletically, whether it be just from a compete level standpoint. So we've already made a bunch of adjustments and already gotten the angry DMs and text messages from coaches or parents or even the kids saying, hey, what happened to me? I was rated here and now I'm dropped down to here. So it's never fun, but it's one of those deals that you kind of have to do it. The business requires you to do it. So therefore, boom, there you have it.
We had an Oregon kid, and speaking to this point, we had an Oregon kid that I liked. I had him in my top 15, in part because he transformed his body, been lifting, he cut his weight down, and then he just didn't do a sport and stopped working for about a month, and he gained 20 pounds, and the wrong kind of pounds. And people were like, this is the kid you thought was good? It's like, I didn't know he was going to just go on an eating binge. It can happen with even really good prospects. You mentioned it's an NFL projection, and I think that hurt one of the kids in the Oregon's recruiting class this last year, Micah Pittman. Micah Pittman's not going to be that superstar AJ Green, Julio Jones guy at the NFL level. But man, if we're just talking college projection, am I crazy to say he would have been quite a bit higher up the list?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. You know, I hope he goes and kills it. He's one of my favorite kids. Known him since, before high school because I covered his older brother. He is a guy who he's got a huge chip on his shoulder. If he heard you say that right now, he'd want to go down to the studio and fight you right then and there. I mean, he hates to hear that he's not a high-level athlete or doesn't have the NFL measurables or doesn't project as well as other receivers. You know, his older brother, Michael, who's at USC, he's the 6'4 guy with really good blazing top-end speed. Micah is a better football player, but Michael was rated higher coming out. Michael was a five-star because he has those NFL projectables. A guy looks like Dez Bryant. Micah is, you know, kind of running back body, probably on a good day, you know, maybe a low 4.6, mid 4.6 guy, which for me is plenty fast, but he's so tough, strong hands, incredibly competitive, pure advanced route runner, can do everything in the book in terms of being out wide, put him in the slot. He can even do some stuff out of the backfield. No one plays tougher or angrier as a receiver than Micah. I mean, he really competes heavily, and like I said, he feeds off on people like us. I'm like, you're in the top 100. That's pretty good. But he was ticked off all year because he felt like he should have been the number one receiver in the country. In his eyes, he's a number one receiver in the country. It's not called success. It's NFL draft. And we'll see. You know, we'll see how he does there. But I'm pulling for him for sure.
Lebanon linebacker Keith Brown, transitioning back to that 2021 list, the only kid in Oregon to make it. I think you guys did a great job, first of all, in scouting Oregon. I think that's 100% right. Keith Brown, to me, is the only guy who even had a chance at sniffing this list. He's the number 5 inside linebacker in the country. What is it about him that stands out?
Yeah, I mean, so I love the frame. I mean, he's a strong kid, 6'1", 220. I mean, he looks like he has college body right now, inside backer. He does everything well. You know, when he's blitzing, plays with physicality, he can drop in coverage. You kind of watch some of the offensive tape and see him at running back where he's got the speed. So, again, with us, we love athletes that play both sides of the ball. We love guys that play two sports. We love guys that do track, baseball, basketball, whatever. We're looking for multi-sport athletes. I think the NFL draft has shown that those are the guys that get drafted, but not just the guys that just play football all year round. And so you see Keith, and he gets two-way guy, running back, linebacker, versatility. I like the athleticism. I love the toughness. I love the physicality. For me, linebacker, you should probably be the toughest guy in the field. I love the way he takes on blockers and comes up and runs support. He's a no-brainer.
Talking to 24/7 Sports national recruiting analyst Greg Biggins, Seven McGee, the Oregon commit, Oregon's lone commit in the class of 2021 right now. He's rated the number three running back in the entire country. People get hung up on the fact that he dropped six spots. That means nothing, really. I mean, in the grand scheme, it's not that you guys think his stock dropped. He's still one of the top three running backs in the country. What stands out about Seven McGee, and I know people hate to do comps when they're sophomores, but running style, can you give us a comp without you wanting to come through the phone and punch me for doing that to you on a sophomore in high school?
No, I mean, and obviously it's been said about him before, and I'm sure Oregon fans probably see it, but you see a little bit of a DeAnthony Thomas with him. He's going to play at Narbonne next year, which LA City section, that's where DeAnthony came from, Crenshaw High School. So we always say this about players. He didn't drop. It just so happened other players moved ahead of him. People say, oh, it's a cop-out. It's the same thing. It's not the same thing. He didn't do anything wrong. We didn't see as much sophomore tape when he moved out to New York and played his sophomore year out there. So it wasn't so much, you know, that he did anything wrong. Just we saw other guys and they kind of, you know, moved ahead. But I like him a lot. I don't know if he's a running back in college. I think he probably should be rated as an athlete. I think slot receiver might be his best college position. I think that's what he wants to play. For a guy who's played a lot of running back, he really catches the ball well. And guy being 5'8", 5'9", we're talking contested jump balls where he's jumping over guys. Just a smooth, natural athlete, but he's explosive after the catch. He's a guy you can throw a little 5-yard hitch to. You make two, three guys miss and take it to the house. So another guy who get highly competitive like Micah, I'll say this. He has that chip on his shoulder. He's not happy about his ranking. He thinks he should be probably in the top 20, if not higher, which I have no issue with, right? I have no issue with a guy who feels that way and who kind of believes that, you know, he's the best at his position in the country. You want them to feel that way, as long as they're not too obnoxious and over the top, like some guys were in last year's class, no names.
Yep, but I experienced some of that myself.
I think Seven's special. I think he's really a special football player. It's going to be fun to see him back in Southern California again.
It's funny because I think people think there are tiers to, or they don't realize that there are tiers to this to some degree. There can be sometimes a gap where you say, man, there are seven kids that look like sure things, and then 8 through 50 is really close. And realistically, if you're in the top 100, you're really, really, really good at football. You know, if you're 52, you move up from 68, that doesn't subtly mean your career is going to be vastly different. I think people get caught up on the numbers. If you're a top 100 kid, I think 24/7 Sports is saying, if you're in our top 100, we project you, if you continue on your current trajectory, to be a star as long as you continue to build on that. How frustrating is it to have people, and I know you deal with parents and everybody and fans, bogged down on, like, for example, Seven. He dropped six spots. It doesn't mean you didn't like him. He played out in New York. You didn't get to see his film as well. Maybe if he comes to California and kills it, you go, okay, we have a little more proof against a little better competition. He goes, you know, he'll go up. How much does it bother you to have to kind of fight over stuff that you actually consider pretty nitpicky, and some people think it's kind of the end of the world?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go a step further. If you're a 3-star, you're a really good football player. You know, I think people have this, if you're a 5-star, you're good. 4-star, pretty good. 3-star means you suck. That's so not even close. If you're a 3-star, we saying you got a chance to be an NFL guy. You should be a really good college player. You should be an all-conference player if you're a high-level 3-star. And it's not just top 100. I mean, I think if you're rated in the top 400, which we usually try to rank about that many 4-star players, we're saying, dude, you are a special talent. You should be a top 3-4-round draft pick, which think about how many players play high school football. And then we're saying you're one of the 500 best. You're in the 1 percentile. I mean, you're really, really good. So there really isn't much difference between a guy who's rated number 50 and a guy number 400. It's so subjective. And for us, again, it's an NFL draft. For a college, you know, they don't care as much about the NFL. You know, it's all about system fit. So you could be a 4-star for Oregon and a 5-star for Alabama and a 3-star for Kentucky. You could be the same player. It's just how you fit in a certain scheme and a certain offense, a certain defense. So it is so subjective when it comes to rankings, but I do think people get a little nutty and go berserk over a player who's rated as one of the best in the country. Again, no names. We had a kid last year in the 2020 class. He had his coach flipped out because I think he was number 2 or number 3 in the nation. And we're going, dude, you lost your mind. Like, there's no way. And he didn't even see the kid who was rated ahead of him. He never heard of him, never saw a second of film, but in this kid's eye and the coach's eyes, he was being disrespected for being ranked like third or fourth in the country. So you see a lot of nuttiness when it comes to rankings. That me and Huffman, who I know you know really well, it's funny, rankings day is probably one of those days where we're just like, we just want to put our phones down and not even look at any of our text messages or DMs. It's a lot of wackos out there for sure.
I can totally relate. And when I deal with such a small group in the state of Oregon, you know, I'm sometimes dealing with basically ranking seven kids, you know, that have a chance to be Pac-12 kids. There are times where I come out with them and I hear from all seven kids or their parents that day. Like, they're going to call and be like, why was I two and not one? And I can't even imagine nationally, because again, I just do Oregon and I deal with some of that. I can't imagine what you deal with on that level. I want to get you out on this. Again, we're talking to 24/7 Sports national recruiting analyst Greg Biggins. People think there's kind of the same set of talent in each class, and that's just simply not the case. For example, in the class of 2020, there aren't a lot of really good offensive linemen on the West Coast. There are a lot of receivers this year. What are you seeing early? And I know, again, I know it's early and guys will crop up in terms of where the West Coast is deep and maybe where it's a little more thin in the class of 2021 that teams can maybe prepare for by maybe over-recruiting in 2020 to compensate for the fact that there's not as much talent or there's more talent in 2021.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I think it's another down year for linemen on both sides of the ball. And honestly, that's kind of an epidemic. And I was just talking to someone from the South, a coach, and he was like, God, where are your linemen? And he was just kind of – it wasn't like he was talking smack me. Like, you know, everyone says kids from the West Coast are soft. I don't think they're soft. We just don't see a lot of linemen. And it's so true. You know, whoever our number one O-tackle is or our number one D-tackle, there's 20 of those guys in the South. And our number two guy would be number 50 out in the South. And their gap in the South between like 1 and 30 is pretty slim. There's a huge gap between our 1 and 2 and 3 guys. They just, I don't know what it is, but in those states, Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, they're just, South Florida, they're just built differently. Skill-wise and quarterbacks, I feel good about, but linemen, that's where it's so hard for schools to compete. And that's why I think, you know, a coach like, you know, Mario Cristobal, you know, he's making such a huge emphasis like on going out to those places and getting linemen, because unfortunately we just don't have a lot of them. To answer your question, I think 2021 West Coast-wise quarterback is looking really good right now. Obviously, our number one guy is Sam Heward out of Washington. I think he's really good. You know, the game just looks so easy. I always kind of say you can tell with a quarterback when he gets it, the game just kind of slows down for him. Sam is so polished. And it's just in terms of reads and anticipation, throwing the ball, getting out early on time, being accurate with his throws. He checks off all those boxes. I think, you know, Jake Garcia is our number two guy out west. He's a top 25 guy nationally. But there's three or four guys out west that all have a chance to be in the top 100. Tyler Buckner is already committed to Notre Dame. Missed his whole entire sophomore year with a torn ACL. But for me, I think the guy actually, you know, still should be in the top 50 if we're going off a projection. Miller Moss from Alameda, these are all some of the California guys. All really good. Jake Rubley, for anyone who's a Rams fan like myself, he's TJ Rubley's kid who played for the Rams way back in the day. So he's a kid out of Colorado. So those four or five quarterbacks I think could eventually all be in the top 100. But right now it's Sam Heward and Jake Garcia are 1 and 2 out west and probably in the top 3 or 4 nationally as well.
He's Greg Biggins. You can find him at Greg Biggins, Biggins, B-I-G-G-I-N-S. Also, you're on the Transparent Truth podcast, which I have to just say, I know, you know, I do this professionally. I'm a big fan of that. I love that podcast, the way you guys deep dive into various topics in recruiting. It's really, really good. I think you do a phenomenal job. Where else can people find you, or maybe where can they subscribe to that podcast?
So it's called The Transparent Truth, like you said. I do it with a guy named Keith Miller, who's who's a good guy, extremely opinionated. It's kind of like we're pretty much opposites in every single way you can think of from not just our on-air personalities, but the way we do life. So I think it's just called The Transparent Truth. Just go to, you know, iTunes and you can subscribe right there. So The Transparent Truth, I appreciate the little plug and the shout out. We have fun with it. And no, man, I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, man. We'll have to have you on again. And it's been a misstep by me not to have you on sooner. Thank you very much for joining me.
Anytime, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
We're going hard today. Lots of deep dive recruiting news. I just think it's fascinating to hear about the class of 2021, that they're light on O-linemen. And Oregon is able to go outside the region to find their O linemen, it's going to be tougher for Washington State, Oregon State, UCLA, Arizona State, because Oregon will be able to pull a kid out of Texas or Michigan just because of Mario Cristobal's brand. It's going to be tough, and you're going to see some schools take some flyers on some linemen that traditionally might be Big Sky, Mountain West level, because there just aren't very many. Like you said, 20 guys, 30 guys in the South would all be ranked right with the number one guy in the West, and the number two guy would be in the top 50 in the South. That's how big the gap is. When we coming back from break, we got to talk about the Nike Hoop Summit. Cole Anthony, the five-star point guard, the number one combo guard in the nation, considering Oregon. We'll talk about Oregon's chances. Again, that's next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
From five stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Oregon Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
Really excited for tomorrow. I'm doing color commentary here at 1080 The Fan at the Nike Hoop Summit, which is the nation's best Team USA, the junior national team, the best prospects in America, and it's like 12 of the top 18 kids in America. The number one pick in the draft has been there every year for the last 9 years. It will be 10 because Zion played in it last year. RJ Barrett played in it last year. Zion's getting picked number one, so it'll be 10 years. And I'm doing color commentary. I think it's the biggest event I've ever done color commentary for. Really excited about that. That starts at 7 p.m. It's at the Moda Center. Tickets still available, and it's inexpensive. I think you can sit in the lower bowl for $10.
Yep, $10.
Last year, Bull was there, and I know they listed him with like four or five blocks. I asked every single person sitting near me on press row, and we all had him with like, I forget what his points and rebounds. Everybody had the official stats for points and rebounds. It was like 16 points, 12 rebounds, and I had 9 blocks. Somebody else had 8, somebody had 9, and somebody had 7. So we almost had a triple-double. Phenomenal game. Zion had a big dunk. This year's big-time prospect, obviously James Wiseman, the number one prospect. Isaiah Stewart, the Washington commit's way up there. But the top uncommitted guy is Cole Anthony. And I know he has a top 4. Throw that out the window. It's going to be a North Carolina or Oregon battle. I think it's going to be North Carolina. That's the way it's looking. But he said one of his biggest factors, and arguably his biggest factor, is the chance to make a Final Four. And I don't know if you've paid attention to the preseason rankings, Marcus, but Oregon right now is a top 10 team in the preseason rankings. North Carolina, who lost for sure, Nasir Little and Kobe White, who I believe both are expected to sign with an agent, are gone. North Carolina, not in that top 10, not sniffing that top 10.
They will, though.
If he wants to, not in the preseason rankings.
Yeah, not in the preseason, though. You're right.
But if you're just looking at it as a recruit and you say, I want to make a Final Four, wouldn't you look at the preseason rankings?
Yeah, you would. And the guys that Oregon's probably going to get back, right, they basically bring it, basically everybody back. So, yeah, they can make a deep run. And adding him would make him that much deeper.
Here's the thing. Peyton Pritchard, Lou King, and Kenny Wooten have all put their names in for the draft. None of them have signed with an agent. That's the smart thing to do. I don't think people realize you should always put your name in if you have any chance of ever going pro, because you get a free evaluation of your game for the NBA. You might as well take the free advice. It's free advice from professional people about here's where you'd slot, here's your strengths, here's your weaknesses. Why not get a professional evaluation of your talent? And then come back. Go through the process, see what it's like. Get a trial run through it the first time. You do not want to go into it the first time as a real prospect and go into it and go, oh my gosh, I didn't know what to expect. I was overwhelmed. Throw your name in the hat. Go through the process. See what it is. Come back. I think all three of them come back. But I don't know if you caught this today, Marcus. Chris Duarte, Oregon signee at shooting guard, was named the JC National Player of the Year.
I saw that. My goodness.
Chris Duarte. 19 points, 7.1 rebounds per game. Chris Duarte can shoot it. He can fill it up. He's going to come in and be another body. And you look at this team, and if you really have Peyton Pritchard, Kenny Wooten, Chris Duarte, it's loaded. Oregon's going to be really good for a long time because of who they're bringing in. And by the way, they're bringing in five-star CJ Walker. Oregon's going to be really good. Oregon's going to be really good. Trace Tingle put his name in. I didn't see. Did he sign with an agent? Is he expected to be gone, or is he coming back?
He's probably going to come back, which is the right decision, because I think if he stays for this last season, he can do a lot better.
I hope so. Oregon State needs to put a run together. With this group, they brought in an elite recruiting class, And so far, they made it their freshman year and haven't since. I'd love to see, because I think Wayne Tinkle's a wonderful man. I'd love to see them have a nice run.
I think they will. If Trace is back, they will for sure in my mind. But we'll see.
A bit of personal news and also some Game of Thrones talk.
Absolutely.
With Marcus next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan. First, I want to start with a bit of personal news, and Greg Biggins touched on it, and I talked about it briefly. This weekend, my dad was at the hospital, and he had a second heart attack, and he had one about, 10 years ago, and they didn't think it was that initially. They thought it was just, they weren't sure. He just had another surgery, so they thought it was maybe pain from that. It turned out it was a heart attack, and then the news just kind of progressed from there. By the way, my dad is doing fine, and he had surgery today, and he's awake. He's probably sleeping now. Good for him, because he's probably in pain. They probably gave him a ton of Vicodin or whatever they give him. He's in la la land, but it started out as being okay. Well, he had a heart attack, and we're not real sure what's going to happen, and then that turned into he needs to have double bypass surgery. And it initially was going to be Monday, and then it was going to be maybe Tuesday, and that turned into today. I was asked about not doing the show. One, my dad totally would have wanted me to do the show regardless, and two, I just felt like that was the right thing to do. We just motor on, and he's going to be fine. I wasn't even willing to look at any other possibility. I went into surgery today, and like a champ, did great. He woke up well before the show. I knew he would. Not that the show is the most important thing by any stretch, but for people who are wondering why, why would you do a show instead of be there? The other thing is his floor, and I'm not sure why they did it this way, but a lot of the people on his floor had the flu, and I have an eight month old at home. So they basically told me you can't go, because if you get the flu and give it to the baby, it's really dangerous for the baby. So I'm glad my dad is doing well. He's a wonderful man. And
that's great news.
I grew up loving sports, and my dad totally, and he played sports and played college football at Eastern Oregon, and he totally bought into that and was so supportive. My brother died when I was in the second grade, and that's when my dad started taking me out of school for the OSAA high school basketball tournament every year, and we'd go out for the first round and sometimes the second round and just watch basketball all day that day, and that was a really special thing, and then we'd find games we wanted to go to, and we've double dipped. We've been to Final Fours. We double dipped the Bay Area game. So we went to an Oregon State Stanford football game at noon, and then we went to the 7:30 Oregon Cal game all in one day. We've done a lot of really cool stuff. We went to Rice in Texas and saw Anthony Rendon for a series bat, because he was supposed to be the number one pick. So why not? We drove down to Stanford one time on a Friday, because we wanted to see this up-and-coming freshman, Andrew Luck, play quarterback, and we left saying that kid's won one. Number one pick, first round, no doubter. He's just been absolutely so supportive, and not only that, but the whole getting into prospects and looking for players who play the right way, who block, who set screens, who block out, who tackle and wrap up and don't just try to smash a guy and stand over him. He taught me all those things about look for the little things in guys. And that's part of the reason I've been able to do what I do. And I love sports. I'm 5'8". There was no chance I was ever going to play sports professionally. But my dad helped me look at sports in a way that allowed me, that afforded me the opportunity to do this for a living. And I don't think very many people get to do what they really love and get to look at it and say, my mom was a writer. An English teacher who helped me learn how to become a writer. So both my parents were extremely influential in, you want to go do something, go attack this. And they both gave me the tools to do it. And I owe the world to them, because without them giving me the path, showing me the path, I never could have done what I love to do. And I get to wake up every day and do what I love. And that's because of my parents. So thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom. And Dad, hang in there a few more days at the hospital, and then we're definitely going to watch some college baseball. I don't care what it is. Looking forward to watching some sports.
Respect.
Definitely.
I'm glad he's doing better. I remember you sent me that text when I was just reaching out to you, and, a lot of us, I know, anyone that knew the news, we said some prayers for you, my man, and we're glad that he's doing good.
All good. Next week, recruiting stuff. Go figure. Recruiting stuff. We've got to preview the spring game visitor list. Oregon and Oregon State are both hosting a ton of big-time prospects. Oregon's group, as we talked about earlier in the show, headlined by the number one prospect in the nation, five-star quarterback DJ Uiagalelei. Clemson's probably the favorite. Oregon's right there. Savelle Smalls, the number four prospect in the entire nation, visiting this weekend. We'll get a chance to wrap up. I talked to him quite a bit. We'll definitely talk about how his visit went. I'm sure I'll have a story about it, but I'll bring that to you here as well. Maybe we can get him on the show. He's been on before. Get him back on and see what he thinks of the visit. He's a really good dude.
Yeah,
he's a really good dude.
Back.
He's having fun with it. Well, you know what? We'll talk to him about getting him back.
Absolutely.
We'll do a little more Oregon State stuff. We didn't do a lot of Oregon State. We'll preview their spring game visitor list because they're doing some really good things, especially in the state. Marcus, thank you for producing. Listeners, thank you as always for listening to the Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick show on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.